Last week, a nephew of mine back in Kansas graduated from high school. Living in Alaska, I don't get to be around him all that often, but my impression is that Riley's a really good kid, raised right and a hard worker. The oldest son of my oldest sister, he got high marks in high school and was a starter for the football team. No small feat at a 5A size school. He's debating the next step in his life, though not through any lack of ethic or ambition. His dad owns a hugely successful contracting company, and Riley is, by what I've heard, exceptional for his age at construction in addition to having a keen mind. He's also very fond of hunting, though he's largely had to explore that on his own, as his dad doesn't hunt much anymore. According to my sister, who may be telling the truth or blowing smoke up her older brother's butt, Riley also looks up to a certain bearded uncle in Alaska, one who's been fortunate to kill the occasional moose, caribou, or bear. I do seem to recall that I've emailed photos through the years, at my sister's request, to Riley, showing things I've managed to harvest for the freezer. I say all this because in light of the fact that his graduation just happened, I needed to come up with a gift, and I wanted something that had some level of meaning, as well as being potentially useful to him in the coming years. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. That gift. I decided on a Buck 105 Pathfinder knife. My reasoning, and I articulated this at length to him in a letter, was that I was given one at age 18 by my dad. To this day, it's my go-to knife, and has been a part of skinning every big game animal I've ever killed, and has helped on a good number of others harvested by friends. If Riley's really serious about hunting, a good knife is a great thing to have. The only difference is, I got him a slightly upgraded version from mine, his having a really sweet-looking, red micarta handle. It's my sincere hope that he gets a lot of use from it in the years to come. From that, you might surmise today's episode is about knives. Alas, it's not. If you'd like to hear an episode about knives, that was the topic of the week perhaps a year and a half ago. My guess is it's somewhere on the KDLG website, if you'd care to poke back that far. However, I would like to talk about another useful outdoor tool that has an edge. Specifically today, I'd like to talk about axes. I'll own up to the fact that, unlike that buck knife I still cherish, I've had axes come and go across the breadth of my life, and none really stand out. However, in the opinion of many, if you were going to be stranded, and at the mercy of nature, with an uncertain future, an axe just might be the one tool you'd want to have on hand. Over the course of human history, axes have been equal parts tool and weapon. The axe is one of humanity's oldest tools, with stone axes dating back thousands of years. As far back as 6000 BC, primitive humans began attaching stone wedges to wood, bone, and antler handles, realizing that the extra leverage afforded by a handle made that stone wedge a much more useful tool. From the get-go, these early versions were used to dig, chop, and cut in the name of food and shelter procurement, as well as serving as a weapon when things went south in interactions with both man and beast. Skipping along the axe timeline a few thousand years, during the late Neolithic era, metal came into the mix as axe heads were made from copper. Later still, other metals came into play and axes began to be created for specific uses, such as felling axes for cutting trees or battle-specific axes for war. For example, double-bitted axes designed for battle have been found on Crete. These axes date back nearly 4,000 years and prove that as long as man has been around, he's always found a way to weaponize whatever tools were at his disposal. The colonization of North America by Europeans advanced the type of axe known as the felling axe. All of those trees weren't going to cut themselves. Timber was needed for building and land needed to be cleared for farming. Early axes brought over from Europe were called trade axes and were something of a general-purpose axe. Necessity being the mother of invention, early colonists began experimenting with different types of axe heads. At one time, there were over 300 different axe head patterns being sold. I kid you not. Though the general trend of all of these heads was shorter and broader blades than their European predecessors. These stouter heads proved more efficient for felling trees, a strong consideration back then. Both double-bitted axes and those having just a single cutting edge saw wide use, with double-bitted varieties used more by professional lumberjacks, while farmers and such tended to favor those having a single edge. Axes remained vital tools for rural folk and loggers well into the 1900s, at least until chainsaws became viable, reliable tools. Even so, axes designed for heavy chopping still have a role today. I could give you a list of axe types, but if you'll take the time to Google the word axe, paired with the word types, you'll find that there are a whole host of such lists that can be populated with between 10 and 20 named varieties. The bottom line? There are a lot of types of axes. Some of them are very specific in their use, such as a carpenter's axe or a fireman's axe. I'd suggest that what you'll largely find is to some degree mating the size to the purpose is all that really matters. Some have very specific head types, and that needs to be taken into consideration. For example, I've got a tomahawk-style throwing axe a friend gave me many years ago. As a form of entertainment, trying to get it to stick in a tree, it can be quite fun. And it'd probably work for some types of light camp work, such as reducing kindling in size or chopping small branches. However, it's not what I'd choose in the way of a do-everything camp axe. The head on it is probably a bit light and small, and there are better options available. I would note here that a small camp axe is something many would label a hatchet, myself included. Some folks draw a line between a hatchet and an axe. The difference explained is a hatchet is a one-hand tool, while an axe requires both hands. Irrespective of what you choose to call them, one-handed versions are probably the most common type of axe most folks have, and they can be very handy for a wide range of activities. In a camping situation, they are absolutely a great tool for splitting kindling, and if you're going to have a campfire, and you should want to have a campfire, a hatchet's a good thing to have. You can also use that same hatchet to create tinder, though some use a knife for that. Another valuable use of a hatchet is to use the backside as a hammer to put in tent stakes, which can be a big boon to the camping experience, depending on the soil type. I've even used a hatchet to either make tent stakes when more were needed, or something longer or beefier when it was required. While it's not a task I've often used a hatchet for, some people use theirs to fill their spare time, using a hatchet as a carving device to express their creativity. Certainly they can be used to build or fortify a shelter, and to create any number of other useful camp or survival tools from existing branches or trees. From a job standpoint, I've used both hatchets and larger axes to cut through lake and pond ice when trapping beavers in the winter, and cutting up ice can serve other purposes as well. For dedicated tree cutting, a chainsaw is certainly a faster route to go, but a good sharp hatchet can still get the job done if needed, and it's great for removing the limbs from larger portions of trees or clearing brush along trails. When paired with a good ferro rod, the steel of a good hatchet makes for a dandy fire starter, though certainly dedicated fire starters are likely a better bet and maybe just a bit easier to use. And one last use. A lot of hunters like a good hatchet for opening up the rib cage when field dressing a big game animal. I've not used one for that myself. I have found that for animals up to the size of a small bull moose, that buck pathfinder I spoke about at the beginning does just fine for opening up a rib cage. The bottom line when it comes to axes: pick the right axe type for the job you have in mind, and then pick a size that will work for you. Test how it feels, if possible, because how it feels in your hand will go a long ways toward determining if it's going to be something you enjoy using. Also, as you've heard me advise on here many times before, and for a great number of outdoor tools, take the time to read up on specific models you are considering. Pick a site like Amazon and see what people are saying about it. Even though axes have come and gone in my own life, it's also true that, like that knife I just bought for my nephew, like the knife I myself have in value, picking a quality axe is something that can set you up with a solid tool you'll use and depend on for a lot of years to come. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.